This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Ball Game. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1 The Ticket.
What's going on and welcome to what we hope is your favorite sports talk radio program, Idaho Sports Talk, Prater in the Bowl Game. I'm Johnny Ballgate here in the Datatel studio. I look at JP right now. He's wearing his Bears pullover. It's not a cardigan, but thanks for asking. And my partner, Michael Forrest Prater, longtime sports writer, longtime sports editor, longtime sports broadcaster. And we're going to have fun. This is the week, Prater. Oh, the turkey business is over. We get forward to the holiday season, obviously, and here we go. It's a Monday, and let's get this done today, dude. What's up?
Ball game. I'm exhausted, and it has nothing to do with turkey. It has nothing to do with Thanksgiving. That was one of the most intense, dramatic, beautiful, brilliant, heartbreaking, horrible sports weekends of our entire lives. So many different things happened. So many beautiful things. I just put out our show tees and I said, sports, dot, dot, dot. It's a beautiful thing. And it really is. Whether it's JP mourning over Ohio State or somebody celebrating. And I mean, we all had good things and bad things happen over the weekend. Sports is so dramatic and so beautiful. The next thing you know, when you think you're really smart, here comes a crazy coaching hire out of USC. Next thing you know, the Dallas Cowboys have COVID. I mean, ball game, there's so many different headlines. I wrote down all the things that we wanted to talk about in this opening segment, and I ran out of KTIK paper. We need a new office supply manager around here because I couldn't find enough paper to keep everything written down. Ball game, it was a beautiful 4 days. I missed you. I had so many things I wanted to talk with you about.
You didn't miss
I did.
Jack.
Bull crap. Whenever I want to sit and debate something in sports, good or bad, who do you think I want to do it with? I want to do it with my partner. And ball game, there were so many things going on this weekend, so many things you and I could have debated. Guess what? The beautiful thing is we got 15 hours this week to figure it all out.
Dude, did you mention the Iron Bowl in that soliloquy?
Oh, I it's on my list. I didn't get to all 15 of my list because if I had read everything on my list, you would have been bored and the readers or listeners would have turned it out. But it's on there. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, wow, what a weekend. Yep, that gave me everything I needed. You know, the food, the fun, the turkey, the family, the sports. I caught a Steelheads game on Saturday night.
Nice.
I went to the live and I was doing, I mean, but you're right. Prater, I woke up and I was still tired this morning, and it was exhaustion, not from Thanksgiving or party planning or anything like that, just from all these sports that we watched. You know, I mean, and that's what, like you said, that's why you listen to Idaho Sports Talk. Well, that's why we love sports, right? You don't know what's going to happen. It's the greatest drama. I mean, it's Prater in sports. I love whoever said this first. In sports, the audience and the entertainers, the talent, the performers, each don't know the outcome. You know, you watch a movie, you go to see a play. Well, the performers know what's going to happen. They know their lines. The audience doesn't, and that's great. But sports, the true unadulterated drama. And we saw that in all Brian Harsin fans. And I know he's got family in this town, too. And he had an Iron Bowl, dude. Had it. Not to mention, like you said, so many other things that went around this weekend. Good, bad, and sadly ugly.
I don't know if Brian Harsin would have won that football game. I don't know if Brian Harsin would have lost that football game. But Brian Harsin blew the biggest opportunity of his coaching career by not going for two. We'll discuss some of those ramifications. We haven't even mentioned Boise State, San Diego State football. Are you kidding me? We haven't even mentioned Boise State, Leon Rice basketball. Are you kidding me? Shocker there. Consider me surprise ball game. So many different things going on. We're going to dive into Boise State basketball. We're going to dive into Boise State football. We're even going to go straight to Ann Arbor. Colston Loveland, the Idaho Player of the Year, the tight end out of Gooding. We've talked about him throughout this entire season. We talked to his football coach and him earlier this year. He was on the field at the Big House on Saturday. He has signed, sealed, and delivered as a recruit to Michigan, and he was on the field. He put some videos out on his social media account. He stormed the field like a kid. It was a beautiful ball game. Did I mention that sports are beautiful? Yeah. We're going to have Colston Loveland on at 4 o'clock. Can you imagine a kid from Gooding, Idaho, signing a letter of intent to play football at Michigan and then going to that football game on Saturday and then storming the field and taking social media videos. I mean, come on. The most exciting thing in good is chasing a cow. Yeah, you're chasing cows.
You think he's considering decommitting? Oh, hell no. Being on the sidelines for the biggest win in that stadium, which is saying something, in probably two decades. I'm not serious. Go back and look where Michigan has been. Jim Harbaugh and the job he's done this year with that team, no question. But Colston Loveland, Gooding High School, with us in less than an hour, live. And early signing day's what, in a couple of weeks, Prater? So I bet on early signing day he'll be the first one to sign there. And, yeah, he's going to Michigan, and he's an Idaho kid, and I can't wait to see what's in his head right now because we're going to talk to him in about an hour.
5 o'clock hour, we're going to open up the phones for you guys. We're going to dive hard into Boise State football. 30 yeah. minutes of Boise State football talk, and we want it to all be about you guys. We are literally in the offseason. We're not too worried about a bowl game around here, although at 3:15, we're going to dive into some bowl projections. We're going to ditch all the national experts because Johnny and I think we're smarter, and we're going to come up with our own bowl projections. But at 5 o'clock, we want to hear from all you guys. What's the priority for Boise State football? What needs to be fixed? What's on the list? How deep does that list go? We want to figure out this priority. We want to figure everything out. So, oh, by the way, we might have Jeremiah Dickey on tomorrow at 4 o'clock. No, we definitely have Jeremiah Dickey on tomorrow at 4 o'clock. So let's get some questions out there. Let's get some thoughts out there today at 5 o'clock before we get Jeremiah tomorrow as we all dive into a Boise State offseason that's going to be very, very interesting ballgame.
I love it, man. Yeah, this is going to be fun with Jeremiah Dickey tomorrow. Ryan Dinwiddie later on in the week, too, just to throw some big Boise names out there.
He's in the Final Four, CFL Final Four.
Yeah, one win away from going to a Grey Cup.
Oh,
Argonauts. My boy, RD, your guy, Ryan Dinwiddie as well, so. We're big Argos fans.
Yes.
This week, and I might have to bust out my Johnny Manziel Toronto Argonauts jersey. Maybe I'll wear that on Wednesday for you, Prater.
And Kellen Moore, he's 0-1 in head coaching searches. Actually, he wasn't searching for a head coaching job, but he didn't get a head coaching job today when there was an opportunity to be had. We'll explain that in a little bit later as well.
What was the biggest thing for you this weekend? Like we talked about, what a weekend, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That is why we're sports fans. I mean, yeah, is there one? Did you have one moment this week?
Yeah, Boise State, San Diego State, that's obviously a big one. I'm going to put Boise State basketball at the bottom of my list because you know how my expectations are for that program. I mean, all the rivalry games on Saturday, the USC coach, Lincoln Riley, I grew up as a USC fan. I'm still a hardcore USC fan, and I absolutely love that rivalry, the Harbaugh drama, the Harsin drama. I had to write my column on Saturday, and I have a policy. I don't watch sports when I write my column because I get distracted. I missed my deadline by 2 hours on Saturday. I couldn't stop not watching.
Turn it off.
No! I mean, come on. I missed the whole first half of Brian Harsin. I missed most of the second half. And then at one point I thought, come on, Prater, this is ridiculous. And I dialed it up. Brian Harsin and his drama. Ugh. The Oklahoma State Cowboys have a chance to go to the CFP. Are you kidding me? The Fresno State coach is headed to Washington. Are you kidding me? We got a completely botched up and different Heisman Trophy. I got my ballot today, ballgame. I'm starting to fill out some ballots. Who knows what's going to happen with Oklahoma? Bob Stoops is the new head football coach at Oklahoma. Are you kidding me?
Yes, he is.
At least for a game. Ball game. I can't stop thinking about the headlines. Cedric Wilson was the only Dallas Cowboys player who didn't show up to practice today. You're obsessed with Mac Jones. Where do we stop?
I don't know, man. There's a lot going on. This is a great time of year. What do you love about Lincoln Riley to USC?
Recruiting.
Now that I have you.
Recruiting. That's been the biggest issue for USC. They've been going through this NCAA violation, bad coaching hires. The recruiting there is absolutely taking a beating. I want to see quarterbacks develop. I love Jackson Dart, their new quarterback. They might also get Caleb Williams over there for a great 1-2 punch. Lincoln Riley, Mike Bone. I don't know. Bob Beeler asked a brilliant question this morning. Whose idea was this, Mike Bone or Lincoln Riley? I have a tendency that it was probably Lincoln Riley that stepped out, intrigued by an opportunity. Why would he go butt heads with Nick Saban in the SEC and get lucky every 5 years where he can go to USC, build a program, be the face of an entire Power 5 conference, develop quarterbacks, create offense, create buzz, recruit. I absolutely love the Lincoln Riley hire.
You know, I love it for Western Region football, okay? First, now here's a big guy that can go like anywhere, and he wants to go to the Pac-12, which the Pac-12 I think needs. I think, and we've all seen this, when the Pac-12 is at its apex, it's USC is the flag carrier. And this to me ups the ante It raises the bar in the entire conference,
yes,
in the entire region. I loved this hire. I had to look two or three times like, really? Okay, oh, wow. And I'm not even a USC fan, but I know I need them for my teams that I do love in the Pac-12 to raise their level of play, too. Yeah, Lincoln Riley, what he's going to do at Southern California, and he knows this. I know it's the big bad SEC and Oklahoma's going, and now they got to find a coach to take him in there. Maybe Luke Fickell, just throwing some names out there. But Prater, with Oklahoma, I'm sorry, with Lincoln Riley there at USC, you can get every bit as talented at USC as you can at almost any school anywhere, yeah, including the SEC. We've seen USC when they build up the way they can build stuff. It looks as good as anything. So, yeah, that's a huge move for the Western region of football, and I couldn't be more excited about that. Good for them.
On the flip side, the University of Washington, I think, is completely missing the boat. Yeah,
is that going to be official?
I think it already is.
Kalen DeBoer.
I don't know if Washington's done it, but all the Pac-12 media is reporting that it's essentially a done deal. Kalen DeBoer to the University of Washington. I was a Justin Wilcox guy. I totally believed in Justin Wilcox getting that job. Couldn't have been more wrong. I don't think Kalen DeBoer is...
Risky hire for a program that doesn't need to roll those dice,
exactly,
does it?
Exactly. And I'm not saying Justin Wilcox would have been a slam dunk hire either, but disappointed that one ball game. We got the top of the Pac-12, the top of the West Coast in the Pac-12, making a poor hire, if you ask me.
Yep.
USC at the bottom half of this conference on the West Coast, making a brilliant hire.
Prater, I think Washington's the second best job in that league. I think it's a better gig than Oregon.
I think
you have a few more resources in Seattle than you do in Eugene. If not, they're right there. They're in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, I think Washington has a little bit of a budget. Oregon has no budget. No budget. They can spend as much money as they can possibly want. Although I will say this, I'm not convinced that Mr. Cristobal is going to stick around Oregon very long. We'll see what happens. Big game this week. We forgot to mention my beloved Utes and a Pac-12 championship game kicking off championship weekend on Friday. Fired up about that. But, I think Oregon's a better job. But if they lose Cristobal and Washington hires DeBoer, I'm going to knock them both down.
Oh, crazy, man. Yeah. This is going to be an insane next few weeks with college football. Don't forget, we're seeing all the transfer portal stuff going on now. Everybody's got that freebie transfer, and these kids are gonna use it. And we're gonna see dudes leaving programs, quicker than some of your marriages, my partner. Like, it's gonna be a quick, it's not you, it's me, I'm out of here. Here's a divorce, but oh yeah, I get a freebie, so I don't have to do any alimony, no courts, nothing like that. I'm just going to leave now. See ya.
Ball game, come on, man. That's not fair. One of my marriages lasted 10 months.
Yeah, see that?
And it wasn't a freebie, by the way. Even if they last 10 months, they're not a freebie. You're 100% right, though. It's a very interesting situation. And ball game, I cannot wait for this week. It's going to be spectacular. I think one prediction I will make, I think we'll see more Boise State transfer portal activity than we've ever seen before. And I'm not just talking about Boise State picking up players. I think it's going to be a two-way street. I'm very, very, I don't want to say excited, but the anticipation of what names we're going to find in the transfer portal. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Plus, all the super senior debate that Andy Avalos probably had those conversations resuming this morning. That's his priority number one right now, is how to fix this roster.
We're going to talk about Boise State, what bowl game we think they should play in, and the rest of the Mountain West Conference. You can always play along. Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline, want to give that to you, 208-424-9300, and text that same number to our Cloverdale Plumbing text line. Your thoughts on everything we just kind of talked about and whatnot, always be a part of Idaho Sports Talk. JP, let's get out of here. Mountain West bowl projections next, KTIK.
Sports Radio The Ticket will be on the move in 2022. Starting January 3rd, listen for Sports Radio The Ticket at 95.3 FM. Of course, you can also listen online through your smart speakers or the KTIK app.
Oh, yeah. College football music, Prater. You like that stuff?
Absolutely.
Heck yeah. And That's old school, too. I love it. Good selection there, JP. Welcome back, Idaho Sports Talk, here on a Monday. It's a college championship week, if you will. A lot of conference championship games going to fly around, including the Mountain West, San Diego State, Utah State, Prater. But we wanted to talk about bowl games. Now, what's the lowdown? There's seven eligible bowl teams. Seven teams from the Mountain West are going to bowls.
I wouldn't say that. At least six of the seven. There's one of them that could be squeezed out a little bit because of the complications. It happened to Wyoming a couple of years ago. There is one more bowl eligible team than there are playoff spot or bowl spots this year, and that always usually goes. Not always usually. That sounds terrible. It typically goes a Mountain West or a MAC team that's 6-6. Wyoming is 6-6. Ball State would be the candidate out of the MAC. But let's see if somebody gets squeezed out.
The L.A. Bowl, I mean, we learned about this. We had fun with this. We were hoping to have Jimmy Kimmel on this show. That didn't work because Boise State's not playing in this game. It's going to be San Diego State or Utah State. Talk to me about the L.A. Bowl.
Yeah, I think it's going to be San Diego State. If we're going to sit here and predict, I mean, Utah State's got a puncher's chance. They've had a nice magical season, but they haven't been the consistent power that San Diego State has. If we're going to sit here and just simplify this with a San Diego State versus Utah State equation, San Diego State's going to win the sucker. San Diego State's going to go to the LA Bowl against a mid-level Pac-12 team. Most of the projections out there that I see has San Diego State playing Oregon State. That is a phenomenal bowl game.
I love that. What about UCLA if they get in there instead? San Diego State, UCLA, a Southern California tie type of game played in LA. I mean, that'd be fun too, but maybe they're
fun
thinking,
for who?
I think that'd be fun for Pac-12 and Mountain West. Why, is that too much of an advantage to keep UCLA in L.A. playing at that stadium?
Well, even UCLA fans don't care about UCLA, and there's no buzz about UCLA. I don't want to see UCLA. There's nothing intriguing to me about UCLA football. I love the job that Jonathan Smith has done at Oregon State, and he probably deserves a little bit better of a bowl game, but he's probably going to get squeezed out in the Pac-12. If you gave me San Diego State, Oregon State, that is about as good as it can get if you ask me. That's a spectacular bowl game.
The Potato Bowl. I'm going to start right here after
what do you got?
The L.A. Bowl. I have Wyoming versus whoever's going to go in the MAC. I think Wyoming gets the Potato Bowl. They've been there before. They've liked it. I don't think any other Mountain West teams are really going to be jumping at the option or telling Craig Thompson, whoa, Potato Bowl opens. We want in that. It's poor weather. Who wants to, I mean, what do you do here? You go and you ride go-karts at Wahoos. Whoa, great bull tie. You know, it's just not any fun, I don't think.
I put down either Utah State, Wyoming, or Fresno State for the Potato Bowl. I eventually moved Utah State to another bowl. We'll get to here in a minute.
Uh-huh.
And then I eliminated Wyoming. Fresno State, I think, is going to come here with a lame duck coach. The Potato Bowl has a history, a long, unfortunate, and weird, bizarre history of playing and hosting coaches and teams without coaches. So the fact that Fresno State just lost its football coach tells me that that's a program that they're not going to do any favors. The conference office isn't going to do any favors for Fresno State. I think Fresno State's coming to the Potato Bowl to play either a Central Michigan, Northern Illinois, Eastern Michigan, Kent State, somebody like that.
Now, if that is true, gosh, I hope they don't have a Jake Haner sitting there in bowl warm-up, standing on the sidelines, not playing to protect his draft status. Okay.
I think Jake Haner needs to play.
Mm-hmm.
And the Potato Bowl has Zach Wilson did a nice job in this bowl. Josh Allen did a nice job in this bowl. I'm not going to say it changed their draft status, but
Carson Strong last year.
Jeremy Haener is not the guy that can just waltz into the NFL draft. He may do it to protect himself. I get it. I certainly understand it. But I also think it gives him a platform to go off and play a game, and he needs it.
Okay, I had Fresno in the Frisco Bowl, but that was before, obviously, these changes. You're right. The Mountain West is not going to do Fresno with an interim bowl coach any favors whatsoever. They'll put them where they need to go. Where's your Frisco Bowl, Prater?
Boise State. I got Boise State playing in the Frisco Bowl. I feel pretty good about that one. I made a couple of phone calls, and there's no direct connection here. Right now, it's just projections and nothing more than that. But I like Boise State playing in the Frisco Bowl. I'm not exactly sure, how many other options that Boise State's going to have in terms of stuff that's appealing to television networks. Probably against like a Tulsa, North Texas. I have Boise State in the Frisco Bowl against either Tulsa or North Texas.
Mm-hmm. Tulsa, North Texas, Frisco Bowl, Boise State. That's where Mike Prater has them. Armed Forces Bowl. Is this an easy peasy Air Force versus whoever they put in put up against them? Do you see Air Force in the Armed Forces Bowl?
I do. That's where I have it. I think that's probably where you have it. I think Army could maybe sneak in there as well as they shop these military teams around. But I like Air Force in the Armed Forces Bowl, potentially against a Houston, maybe even a UTEP type of a game. I think that could be a pretty good football game.
Let's go to Hawaii, okay? Seriously, let's just go to Hawaii, man. No, from a bowl sense, I mean, if you get an AAC team, JP told me before we went on the air that Memphis has already confirmed. That's an upper-level AAC opponent. I think this is a juicy draw.
Memphis finished seventh place in the AAC this year.
Okay.
They're not good.
It's a down year.
6-6 overall, 3-5 in their league play. Not good at all. Complete poor year. Four teams have committed to bowl games so far. Memphis committed to the Hawaii Bowl today. I got Memphis playing Nevada in a very bad bowl game, although it's Christmas Eve, and I would imagine you and I will be watching it.
I got Utah State in the Hawaii Bowl. I think they're going to want to go to the island. They're not going to get to go to the L.A. Bowl. They don't want the Potato Bowl. They don't want to go to stinking New Mexico.
You need to change the word want.
Right.
There's no such thing as want.
I think they're going to be...
They're going to be told where to go.
Yeah. They're going to be told.
It doesn't matter. They're going to be told.
They're going to Hawaii, Prater.
I think it's very possible. I'm not saying that that's not right.
Yep.
I think that that's very possible. Very possible.
I think a lot of teams, I guess the want doesn't matter, but I think a lot of teams with this lineup, hey, Hawaii Christmas Eve against Memphis, that's a game maybe they can win too.
The Hawaii Bowl on Christmas Eve is a disaster for a football program. Coaches despise it. Players despise it. You completely blow up your whole week. You can't even have Christmas with your family.
Mm-hmm.
It's a terrible logistical bowl game, but, it is what it is.
Who do you have for the Arizona Bowl? This is the Barstool Sports Bowl.
On New Year's Eve.
It won't be on television. It's all online. But the Barstool people, they've been known to come up with some creative stuff. Maybe we'll see what they can do with this, but... Yeah.
I think that Arizona Bowl, that Barstool Bowl, is a PR disaster. Craig Thompson's going to put whoever he doesn't like in that bowl game. I kind of jokingly there.
Uh-huh.
But I did put Utah State in that bowl game, probably against a MAC team. Again, we're looking at the same MAC schools, a Kent State, a Central Michigan, an Eastern Washington, or Eastern Michigan. I think we're looking at – I put down Utah mm-hmm. State in the Arizona Bowl. Who'd you put down?
I put down Nevada in the Arizona Bowl against some MAC team, Central Michigan or Northern Illinois, one of those games. And that's going to be an interesting experiment for a bowl game, not on television with the Barstool crowd. Probably having all these different prop bets going on during the game and stuff. That might be something to peek at. That leaves us one bowl available, and that's the New Mexico Bowl. Who you got?
Wyoming. I put Wyoming in there. Just seems like a good destination for Wyoming against the Conference USA team. So we'll see how that shakes out. But I got Wyoming in there. Again, I think Wyoming could probably swap with Idaho and Fresno State. I kind of had both those there. But the fact that Fresno State's losing its coach, I put Fresno and Idaho, and then I put Wyoming in the New Mexico Bowl to kick off the bowl season on the 18th.
I got Boise State there against Conference USA. Is that preposterous?
Preposterous is a little strong. I don't think they're going to put Boise State in the New Mexico Bowl.
You know, the Fresno wild card without the coach, I think, does a lot. You're right. No one wants to put a lame duck coach situation in a decent bowl game for their conference. I could maybe see that flipped. And Fresno, you're going to New Mexico, play Conference USA, and Boise State, Frisco Bowl, in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area, and have some fun. And the coaches, I think, would love an opportunity. Not that it's their choice to go to Dallas or not.
Yeah, and the Frisco Bowl is played on December 21st. It's a 5:30 game on ESPN. It's one of three ESPN games that ESPN owns in the Dallas Metroplex area. The First Responder Bowl is a possibility, believe it or not. There are some people out there projecting some Mountain West teams going to the First Responder Bowl, but I don't see that happening. I think ESPN is going to do everything it possibly can, even if it's 6 or 7-5. Boise State's a good TV draw. ESPN is going to make those matchups in those games, and ESPN is absolutely 100% going to want a Boise State over a lame duck Fresno State team. I think Boise State, don't book your travel plans yet, guys, But I like Boise State in the Frisco Bowl on December 21st.
What do you think about Boise staying home in the Potato Bowl? You've heard not going to happen?
I wouldn't say that. Anything's possible in the bowl season. There's a lot of national people out there projecting Boise State in the Potato Bowl. I suppose it's possible. I would think it's a long shot. And the other day when Andy Avalos was asked that question, his exact answer was, we want the best experience we possibly can. In my mind, that's code for not staying at home.
But what if Craig Thompson says, sorry, we want you there? Then you're done.
I think Craig Thompson would much rather shop Boise State to an ESPN Bowl in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He knows the brand of Boise State. It's better for his conference. Craig Thompson putting Boise State in the Potato Bowl would solve one thing and one thing only. One less charter flight that he's got to pay for.
Okay. What? All in all, decent bowl season for the Mountain West?
San Diego State, Oregon State, and SoFi in Los Angeles, I get fired up about and very, very excited. Boise State, Frisco, I think is a good landing spot for a team that they've had a bad season. After that...
I mean, if you would have saw this slate in August, if I would have shown this,
you probably
wouldn't have been mega impressed, would you?
No.
What do you guys think? Text us, Cloverdale Plumbing, 208-424-9300. Good stuff. We're talking Kellen Moore, head coach of the Cowboys this week. Not so fast, JP. He's got a big update there coming. And remember, not too late to apply Zamzow's Recharger. It will slow feed your lawn all winter. So when spring comes, you have a head start on everybody in your neighborhood. 13 locations. Nobody knows like Zamzow's.
If you thought about cutting the cord because it's too expensive, remember, we've always been wireless. And we provide free entertainment. Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket. .com. From the Data Tell Studio, this is Sports Radio The Ticket.
Hang around, coming up in 10 minutes, Bob Beeler with Bronco Focus as Bob takes a look at four impressions he had from the weekend. And I'm a little bit worried about Bob. Bob's done a lot of games over the last few days. His voice is a little bit weak. So we're gonna deal with Bob. We're going to bring him out of his shell and bring him back to life. He's got a game to call tomorrow night, as a matter of fact.
Big game tomorrow night, man. St. Louis in town? Heck yeah.
Big game. Oh, Johnny. Well, one of these days you'll figure it out,
we'll
Johnny.
We'll get to that. Seattle Times and a lot of other outlets are reporting that the University of Washington hiring Fresno State coach Kellen DeBoer. I was going to get to that, but first we need to talk about Kellen Moore, head coach of the Dallas Cowboys this week. Not so fast. I saw that when I saw Mike McCarthy out with COVID this week. Maybe this is Kellen's chance, but that's not going to happen. McCarthy will be leading the team up until pretty much game time through meetings and all that sort of stuff virtually. But Dan Quinn will be the point guy, is what they're calling him, for the game Thursday night. The Cowboys play the Saints in New Orleans. But would have been nice. Kellen Moore, head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, at least for one game.
It would have been nice, but the NFL is not nice, JP. And Dan Quinn has NFL head coaching experience. As a matter of fact, I would have the special teams coach Fossil. I would have picked him. Didn't he have a couple of games as an interim head coach somewhere along the way? You know, all you have to do is worrying about decisions and stuff. Let Kellen Moore focus on this offense. You know, Dan Quinn knows exactly what the speed and what it's like out there in terms of being a head coach at a live game. I got no problem with this. It's the pecking order, and no way, shape, or form does this reflect on Kellen Moore. It's just there's one guy in there who's kind of been there and done that. Dan Quinn was the obvious choice to make this happen.
You know, I'll take it a step further. The Cowboys, those Cowboys who've lost three out of the last four games, they had a lot of stuff to get together, man. I mean, they're lucky that the Eagles are worse than them and blew that game to the Giants yesterday, but... You know, all of a sudden that division isn't as far away from the competition maybe as I thought. If Washington wins tonight, they kind of get within striking distance. Mike McCarthy, win that division. If you don't, maybe Kellen Moore is the head coach of the Cowboys next year because they fire Mike McCarthy. I don't know, but that was a big loss for the Cowboys.
Speaking of the Cowboys-Saints game, Taysom Hill named the starting quarterback for Thursday night.
What's that all about, ballgame? Is Simeon, did he get hurt?
Not that I know.
Or is this just benching deal?
He's just Trevor Simeon.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Taysom Hill's got this, this new weird contract that starts next year and it has these quarterback implications. Taysom Hill still goes on to say He wants to be an NFL quarterback. I heard Drew Brees say he believes Drew Brees does that Taysom Hill is an NFL quarterback. Maybe he's just being nice about his friend, or maybe he does believe that. But for Thursday night, Cowboys, Saints, look at this flavor for Idaho. This is going to get a monster number in this state. You have Kellen Moore and all the Boise State connection going against Taysom Hill with that Highland High School graduate Taysom Hill.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be an interesting Thursday night. And I wish they were airing this. I wish there was someplace.
We have that. We have that game.
Yes, yeah. I know we do. Yeah, we're airing it. I love it.
Now let's get back to the coaching palooza. Seattle Times reporting that the University of Washington hiring Fresno State's Kalen DeBoer as their new head football coach. He's been Fresno State's head coach for two seasons. Went 3-3 in the COVID year last year, 9-3 this year. And according to Seattle Times, former Huskies coach Chris Peterson, former Fresno State and Cal coach Jeff Tedford advised the athletic director throughout the search, and they heavily endorsed DeBoer as the new head coach of the Huskies.
Well, those guys are way smarter than I am, but I very uninspiring hire, if you ask me. What has Kalen DeBoer done to deserve this job? This is one of the best coaching jobs in all of America.
Country, it is.
He's done nothing to deserve that job. Very disappointed.
I mean, I could make a case that UW is a top 20 job easily. Like I said, I think it's the number two, if not three, gig in this conference. I think, you're Washington. You know, you got these big fangs, and you got these big claws, and there's a cute little bunny there, JP, and you're asking yourself, with these fangs and these claws, how do I kill the bunny? Like, Washington, act like Washington here. There would have been, for me, some big names with mega resumes that might have been interested in this, or just a Justin Wilcox, who I think has done more in his career. And I would think Justin Wilcox would come to Seattle and do a pretty good job, and I would imagine he had this, oh my gosh, I need the Chris Peterson endorsement, or I can't be a candidate to coach the Washington Huskies, because their last two hires have been based on that. You know, you need this Pete endorsement, and I love Pete, but we'll see about this hire, man. He better come there. I know he was like 99-2 in the NAIA, Prater. Like, you look at his all-time record, he's like 97-12, Kalen DeBoer. But, you know, 98% of those wins and all that came in the NAIA. Here's a guy that was coaching at a level of College of Idaho 4 years ago, and now he's in Seattle on Montlake coaching the Washington Huskies. A big wheel C, capital W, capital S for me, JP.
And Washington, just about 3 minutes ago, has made it official. They have confirmed it.
Ooh, okay.
They've put out the news. They have officially hired Kalen DeBoer. It's a done deal. The Mountain West has its first head coaching vacancy.
Are we going with the Colorado State guy next? Going to be fired after his debacle over the weekend?
They should have been. Just that whole hire has been a debacle.
Finally, Boise State basketball will host the St. Louis Billikens of the A-10 conference tomorrow night. Extra Mile Arena. Broncos coming off an embarrassing loss at home Friday night against Cal State Bakersfield. They scored only 39 points. Coach Leon Rice met with the media today, said, you know, sometimes it's not about putting the best five players out on the court. He's got to learn that.
I have to do a better job of having a handle on our chemistry, because sometimes you can't just throw your five best out there, or your five, air quote, best. You look at some of these great teams we've had here, they always had a glue guy, and they always had a ball mover, and they always had, you know, with one, you know, maybe four shooters, three scorers, and a rebounder, and a ball mover. And so I think I have to do a better job of getting the lineups in a fashion that those guys are always out there, and it's not just, hey, give me my five best scores and let's let it rip, because then I don't think they all know where the shots are coming from.
And the Billikens, they have a little local flavor on their team. Former Beauregard DeAndre Jones, he transferred into St. Louis. He's averaging just over 5 points and 17 minutes a game for the Billikens.
My response to that, Leon Rice has been a head coach for how long, and he's just now figuring out chemistry? For a coach to say that, man, that did not sound good. And, of course, it doesn't surprise me, but come on, Coach Rice, seriously?
Tomorrow night, that's the big, make fun of it if you will.
I will.
St. Louis is the big non-con game for the Boise State men's basketball.
What does that mean? What does that, explain that. What does that even mean?
It's an upper-level A-10 school. This is the biggest.
Now what does that mean to Boise, Idaho?
It's the biggest non-conference opponent they have at home this year. That's it. St. Louis, they're annually in the top 50 in net rating, RPI, all that stuff.
And what does that mean to this a fan around here?
It's the best. It's the best you're going to see.
Yeah.
High-level A-10 team.
Yeah.
Now, what Leon needs to do, and he was in good spirits today, Prater. He was in good spirits. They need to find a way to win this game tomorrow. They need to beat St. Louis. They need to erase the Bakersfield stench. They need to put the stinking ball in the hole. They do not have a lot of time here. And they need to quiet guys like Prater up a little bit. And to do that, Leon, you have to win.
On the flip side, if he loses, what's the consequences?
I think this could be if he loses this season and they can't recover.
I'm talking about tomorrow night.
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing, man. If you lose this, you're 3-4, and like, okay, well, you better get your act together before conference begins.
And we've been saying that for 10 years.
But if you win this game tomorrow, Prater, that's a big win for him. And then you get things going again, and I hope Extra Mile Arena is packed tomorrow. Is Mike Prater going to be in the house?
No.
JP? No, he says no, too. Me and Beeler will be there. Speaking of Bob Beeler, he's coming up next. How about four compelling Boise State topics over the weekend? And I heard some of these topics from Beeler earlier today, and they are interesting, you guys. So stick around, Bob Beeler. He's coming up next. And don't forget, I'll say this again, we are moving the dial. 95.3 FM will be the new home, the new era of KTIK. So that's starting on January 3rd. Third, Prater in the ball game, KTIK, from 93.1 to 95.3. JPZ.
Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket. This is Bronco Focus with the voice of Boise State Athletics, Bob Beeler.
Bob Beeler, Bronco Focus, in the Day to Tell studio on this Monday. Bob, I know you're a little scratchy, but we're fighting through it, aren't we, pal?
Yeah, I think maybe the week before got me with the three basketball games and the football game, but we'll see. We'll battle forward and keep going, but not at 100% today. As we take a look at that game from Friday, as we do every Monday, the game from the previous week for Boise State football, let's get to my four impressions from the game.
Number one.
As I'm sitting over the weekend reflecting in the game, what ended up happening for Boise State didn't matter whether they won or lost. Boise State ended up not going to the championship game, and it wouldn't have mattered. They could have won 50-0, and because Air Force beat UNLV, Boise State would not be in the Mountain West championship game. Now, if Boise State had won, there certainly would be a euphoria and a great feel to close the season with five wins in a row. But Boise State's result actually affected four teams more than Boise State as far as actually in the standings what would happen. San Diego State that won would not have been in the championship if Boise State had held on. Utah State, if Boise State had won, would not have been in the championship. And both of those teams would have been replaced by Air Force and Fresno State. So Boise State's game, it was the weirdest season in the Mountain West where there were so many tiebreakers at the end of the season where if something fell one way, Air Force was in. If it fell another way, Boise State was in. And if it fell a third way, Utah State was in. And Utah State got the right combinations of wins, and they are the Mountain Division champion based on the tiebreaker.
Think about this, Bob. Had, say, Fresno went into this game, because Boise State would have beaten San Diego State, is Fresno coaching or playing in the Mountain West Championship game Friday night without Kalen DeBoer. If everything would have flipped the way it did today, then Lee Marks all of a sudden, who I guess is the interim coach there, he's coaching in the Mountain West Conference Championship game this Friday. He would have thrown a huge bone to Utah State, but you don't think Kalen DeBoer would have done that?
I think that he either wouldn't have gotten it, would be my guess, or Washington would have waited.
Damn it. So I can blame Boise State for Kalen DeBoer coaching my Huskies. Got it.
Number two.
As I'm sitting there announcing the game, and we're moving into the third quarter, late third quarter, early fourth quarter, the game with San Diego State reminded me so much of the game with UCF to start the season. Great start. In this one, they were up 16-3. On the two drives that Boise State got touchdowns on, Hank was 5-for-5 for 65 yards on one, 7-of-8 for 79 yards on the other. Two beautiful passes for scores, one to Rafdahl down the middle, and then to one to Shakir in the corner of the end zone. He threw on the two drives, when you add it up, for 144 yards. That meant the rest of the game, every other drive but those two. Boise State's pass game mustered only 88 yards the rest of the game. And when you looked at the first half, second half, both teams were well over 200 yards in the first half, 248 for the Broncos, 241 for the Aztecs. Boise State in the second half had 71 yards, but the Aztecs were no great shakes on offense. They only had 167 yards, but it was better than Boise State. Move of the games, San Diego State changing quarterbacks, that to me seemed to make the biggest difference. And much like the UCF game, they scored late twice in the second quarter and then got the opening kickoff of the third quarter. Long sustained drive, touchdown. Then there was an immediate turnover and then another touchdown, and it was game, set, match. So when I think of the San Diego State game, guys, I think it's exactly like the UCF game.
You know, your buddy Paul J. Schneider said the same thing on Bronco game night. He said it's like Boise State found some way to hop in the DeLorean and go back in time and play week one all over again. I mean, you've been doing this a long time, Beeler. It's funny how kind of what goes around sometimes comes around.
Well, it was a similar way. And, you know, sometimes when you don't get the kickoff in the third quarter, if you close the second half, the second quarter, struggling a little bit, sometimes you give them a chance to basically give you a double dose, and that's exactly what the Aztecs did.
Number three.
Well, we'll look to next year with number three. Same schedule in the conference, unless the format changes and they decide to scrap the divisions. But it's going to be Nevada, Fresno State, and San Diego State as the yes teams from the West, and San Jose, Hawaii, and UNLV for the no. So Utah State won it with the easy three versus the hard three. So you're going to, again, have to, what I think is, play the tougher. You're going to have to play from the black tees at the back, and Utah State's going to get to play from the colored tees up front.
Bob, I know there's been talk about scrapping the divisions, and I think ultimately Craig Thompson will do it. Is it logistically possible to do it this fast?
Sure, why not? They don't make the schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, you committed eight games to the league. And you don't. It isn't like it's, you know, Boise State and Utah State's going to be the first weekend in October.
Yep.
They come out with a new schedule every year. They could do whatever they want. I would assume they'd keep the same schedule because it would finish a rotation where you played home and away against the same teams.
Yep.
But it does mean that the conference schedule will be another tough one again next year, because in my opinion, you'd be getting the three toughest from the West and not playing the three easiest.
I hope the one thing we learned from COVID is that it's easy to make these transitions. Remember when we were scheduling Monday, Tuesday games for a Saturday? Mm-hmm. You can certainly spend this offseason getting rid of divisions and reworking a schedule. You might be right on the fairness point, but I really want them to take a hard look at that this summer.
Number four.
And I'll tease the all-conference selections for the Mountain West. They're coming out tomorrow. I think Shakir has a great chance to be first team. I also like Dalmas as the first team kicker. Ariza to me is going to get the punter for San Diego State. And then my other guys I think that are going to be really good chancers are going to be Matlock, Stets, and then it's tough. You got three guys on the defensive backside, Kaniho, Jones, and Skinner. And a lot of times when three guys are nominated at the same spot, they kind of hurt each other's chances because somebody might like Jones better, somebody might like Kaniho better, and somebody might like Skinner better.
I'm rooting for Jones. Tyreek Jones, at the end of the season, became one of my favorite players. I think Skinner has got another year of development and a bright, bright future, and Kaniho just speaks for itself. The way Tyreek Jones played football toward the end of the season, please come back.
Great stuff, Beeler. That's another edition of Bronco Focus. How about this? Gooding, Idaho. Colston Loveland on his way to Michigan. He was on the sidelines at Ann Arbor on Saturday. He's with us. Next on the Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline, Prater in the Ballgame, Idaho Sports Talk.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, Idaho Sports Talk, Prater in the Ballgame. Gosh, what a wonderful weekend of college football it was. And, you know, JP and the Ohio State Buckeye lovers aside, Prater, that Ohio State, Michigan, that atmosphere. I mean, we had the Iron Bowl. We had some other big games. But, man, that was a good one there. And that atmosphere, and Michigan finally gets over that hump. First win versus Ohio State in the Harbaugh era, and a lot of big things.
A lot of dramatics, a lot of entertainment. Jim Harbaugh is always a great source of entertainment. And, obviously, the better football coach, better team. It was great drama, and it was fun to watch, and there was a little bit of an Idaho connection there, ballgame.
Let's go right there right now, Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. He was on the sidelines. He's the most heavily recruited Idaho high school football player in quite some time out of Gooding. He's Colston Loveland. He's been on our show before, and like Prater said, he was at this game on the sidelines taking a visit. And Colston, welcome back to Idaho Sports Talk. Holy shnikes, man. What a weekend for you, pal. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm not as good as you, man. But Sports Talk Radio is a pretty fun way to make a living. Colston, describe the big house on Saturday on the sidelines for everything that was Ohio State versus Michigan.
It was nothing like it. Nothing like it, honestly. It was, I think the attendance, it says 111,000. So I've never been even close to that, you know. But now the big house is special. It was loud. It was bumping. And, yeah, Michigan came out, and the fan base did their job, and the team did their job, and Coach Harbaugh and all the coaches did their job, and it was a pretty special moment.
Now, we'll get to your high school season, I'm sure, in a second here, Colston, but we haven't had a chance to talk to you since you committed to Michigan. I bet you're probably ready to sign early signing day, but what was it about Jim Harbaugh, this staff, and the University of Michigan that they were able to do what a lot of other schools wanted to but couldn't, and that's, you know, get a commit from Colston Loveland?
It was just, those coaches are great, and they're great, and they talk. We had meetings and talked on the phone, and they're special people. But in Michigan in general, Ann Arbor in general, and the university and life outside of football is just great, and that's kind of what sold me as well. So that's how they got me for sure.
Talking to Gooding High School tight end Colston Loveland, headed to Michigan after specifically after this weekend's Ohio State Michigan game. By the way, Colston, do you have any idea what the population of Gooding is?
4,000 maybe, 5,000.
You might be a little bit generous there. 3,000 to 4,000. So yeah, I think maybe Michigan's got that many on its football staff as opposed to 110,000. That's crazy. I'm from Twin Falls. I'll never forget when I walked into a stadium for the first time, and inside the stadium was more people than my hometown. It's a freaky feeling. So talk to us about the experience of this weekend. I want to know everything. When did you get on a plane? Talk to me about the game itself, on the sideline for the game, and then I saw videos of you storming the field and having fun and throwing out some videos. Just kind of go through the weekend and how they treated you and what was it like?
So, yeah, so we'll start off with the flight. We flew out at about our flight. We flew Friday, and we got into Detroit about 7:30. That's a 30-minute drive to Ann Arbor. So we got a rental car, went to Ann Arbor, kind of just hung out that night, got some dinner, went downtown, got some gear.
Are you hanging with your dad or your coach or a buddy? Or
it was my older brother and then my grandfather.
Sweet, dude.
Yep, so we just, us three went up, and we woke up bright and early in the morning, went headed over to the stadium, and let me tell you something, parking over there is hard to find. So we finally got parked, though, and then kind of just walked around the stadium, went and checked out College Game Day. All the tailgating was super cool, tailgating galore. And so that was all said. And then we met at it's called the Jungle Center, and we had a little breakfast there. It was like $10 breakfast, and all the recruits came. And I couldn't tell you how many recruits there were, but there was a bunch. So, and then after that, we got to walk through the tunnel, which was super cool, under the stadium. And then got to hang out on the sidelines for like 45 minutes while they were warming up, which was a really cool experience. And then our seats were like 50-yard line, three rows up.
Wow.
So couldn't ask much more. And, yeah, it was – it's hard to describe. You just have to go and just – oh, yeah, it was sweet.
What was your heart like? What was your mind like? What was your mood like? I mean, did you jump over the wall, rush the field? Were you a fanboy at that time? And just what were you thinking? Because you've just got to be, your head's got to be spinning. This is such a cool experience. I watched it on TV, and I thought it was so damn cool. I can't imagine what it was like being there on the field after the game.
Oh, yeah. No, before the game, my brother and I, Caden, we were like, you know, if they win, we're rushing the field.
Nice.
So we were luckily we had a little gate right behind the seats, so we just slid through the gate. But people were jumping over the rail, it was within a matter of 2 minutes, the field was full. The stadium, the stands were still full. It was crazy. Just like a mosh pit in there. It took us probably 30, 40 minutes to get out of the, like, off the field.
And just thinking in a couple of months, you're on that team, Colston Loveland, yeah. Right? I mean, you're grinding with the rest of those guys in that program, and who has the most wins in the history of college football. It's the University of Michigan. I'm sure Coach Harbaugh and everybody have told you that time in, time out so far. But, again, Colston Loveland with us, Gooding, Idaho, highest recruit in this state. He's headed to Michigan. When exactly, Colston, are you headed to Ann Arbor? Are they wanting you to graduate high school a little early so you can get there for spring ball?
Yep. So I'm heading out January 2nd, I believe, is when we're flying out and gonna get all settled in and then start going, start grinding with them, start school and be good.
Colton, this is the second time we've had you on, and you seem like a very level-headed, mature guy. We have not had a chance to ever meet you in person. There's been many cases of going from Gooding, Idaho to the big house, not just so much Gooding, Idaho, but small-town America, where the whole situation gets big. How have you prepared yourself, and how did this weekend prepare yourself for the transition you're about to make? Because it's not going to be easy. So how do you deal with that?
Just got to stay focused, and it's going to be different all around, you know. Like you just said, there's going to be more people, there's going to be higher level competition. It's going to be different, but it's going to make me better, and it's going to be a fun time grinding it out with all those boys. And that's kind of just what I've been thinking. Just can't wait to get up there and just get after it, really.
Colston Loveland, future Michigan Wolverine. Colston, I'm a geek when it comes to, like, college football facilities. I've never been to Michigan's. I mean, when you're walking through there in the weight room and the nutrition center and the entertainment system and just the locker, your locker, what that's going to look like when you move in there, like, how impressed were you? And tell everybody listening who are geeks about that stuff too, just what Michigan brings to the table as far as the facilities game.
It was crazy when I took, so we toured around the facility when I took my visit back in June, but it's got the biggest weight room in college football. That was a shock. Like, seeing that in person was crazy. Their indoor facility is the biggest indoor. It's crazy. Everything is just so much more than I imagined. And their locker room, their locker room suite. It's kind of older. It's like traditional locker room. It's not as fancy as some other ones you would see, but they put their money where into the athletes and where they're going to get better.
Sorry, Colston. We're talking to Colston Loveland, Gooding High School tight end, one of the top players, if not the top player, in the state of Idaho, headed to University of Michigan to play a little tight end football. Colston, Jim Harbaugh is not for everybody. Why is he for you?
Me and him got really close these past couple months, and we shoot texts back and forth and call each other. And he's a good guy. He's someone that I really reminds me of someone that I would meet here in Gooding, Idaho. You know, small town. He's super, super level, like, humble guy, and he knows what he's going for. And he's works his tail off doing it, and that's why I appreciate him a bunch.
When he likes to poke the bear, as he did over the weekend, saying that just because you standing on third base doesn't mean you hit a triple, and we know that exact shot was straight to Ohio State. That's the kind of guy you want to go to battle with for these next 4 years. When you see something like that, does that get you fired up?
Oh yeah, so fired up. I love that, talking a little smack back and forth, you know, because, you know, they said hang 100 on him last year, and. That was cool seeing that. What did he say? If you're born on third base, that doesn't mean you hit a triple or something like
exactly,
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Ah, Colston Loveland, like, you know, I mean, how difficult is it going to be, in your opinion, in the challenges, and maybe who have you talked to about this? I know you're really cool with your brother. He was a hell of a player too at Gooding. I mean, you know, you're coming from Gooding, Idaho. Like you said, 4,000 people where you're from, and now you go to a college football game and there's 115,000 people just in the stadium. I mean, this is a massive culture shock, and you have to keep that focus, Colston, or, you know, make it the best of you. Who's in your corner? Who's going to make darn sure stuff like that doesn't happen, and you get to Michigan ready to study, ready to work your tail off, and, you know, become a Big Ten champion?
Yeah, no, it's going to be different for sure. And I got a great family, and they're on my back, and they keep me going, and they make sure I'm in the right. And I met some players over there too, obviously, and the commits in my class, and we're all going to push each other and make sure we're all staying on task. And it's a team deal, so we're all going to be together with it, and they're going to help me get through it, and I'm going to help them get through it.
Colston, what are your expectations? Do you expect, I mean, I'm assuming redshirt, but maybe I'm overspeaking there. Do you expect to play right away? And more importantly, how do you feel? What do you need to do over this next year to make yourself Big Ten ready? What's on your priority checklist in terms of making your body and your mind right?
So, I mean, I'm, you know me, I'm redshirt or not, I'm going to keep working, and I'm going to be happy with where I'm at. And, but like enrolling early, so here in 4 weeks or whatever that is, I'm gonna. That's that playing spring ball and getting on that nutrition and like the workout plan and everything they got planned for me. That's gonna really get me ready. And just being in there that one semester early is really gonna set me up for when fall camp comes around and when season starts coming up. So.
Well, you got a lot of fans in Boise, in the state of Idaho, and going to be peeking over the next 3, 4, 5 years over there in Ann Arbor. We've always appreciated your time, your coach at high school, and you know we're rooting for you here, Colston Loveland, and this is going to be fun to see someone from Gooding, Idaho, take their chances or take their talents to Ann Arbor and ball for the Wolverines. And you got a couple more weeks here, actually about a month in Idaho, and then. Then you're off, man, and we couldn't be happier for you, man. Thanks for hanging out with us, Colston.
Oh, no, I appreciate you guys a ton. Love what you're doing. Keep on keeping on.
Thanks, man. Colston Loveland. Hey. He's going to be in Ann Arbor. Think about this. If they are in the CFP, Michigan, and they are one win away against the Iowa Hawkeyes on a neutral site from being in the CFP, they're going to be getting ready to play games when he gets on campus on January 2nd. So he will get to at least be a part of that entire experience because he's going to be a new student. He's going to be in the program. He's going to be on scholarship. Like, he'll get to experience some of those festivities, and that's going to be a hell of a deal for that kid. And holy smokes, I'm sure he seems aware, but Prater, this is a huge step up, obviously, from Gooding, Idaho, and I'm excited for the kid.
Can't wait to watch him. That'll be fun. That'll be a lot of fun, and especially with what happened over the weekend. And it's just a good story. I'm all about good stories, fun stories. I'm not a Michigan guy. I'm not a Harbaugh guy. I'm not a Big Ten guy. But that was a fun game over the weekend, regardless of who won. It was just the atmosphere. That's the kind of atmosphere that makes college football a spectacular sport, the best sport, the most beautiful sport. It's a beautiful day, ball game. It's a beautiful day.
What'd you think of that interview? Text our Cloverdale Plumbing text line, 208-424-9300. We'll open up our Fat Guys Fresh Deli hotline in about 45 minutes because, as Prater said earlier, we want to hear from you. What's on the priority list for the Boise State football team moving forward? Bronco Nation, we're going to ask for your help at about 5 o'clock tonight, Prater. But next, Boise State, their NFL players. Did they do anything yesterday? Let's have a good old-fashioned NFL conversation. And Mac Jones, gosh, is he on his way to win Rookie of the Year with Bill Belichick and what the Patriots are doing? Prater, let's jump on over to the NFL side here on Idaho Sports Talk. Quickly, though, do not forget the largest toy drive in the state of Idaho. It's going on right now. Bring a new unwrapped toy to Sportsman's Warehouse. That's on Fairview Avenue from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. all day until Monday, December 6th, a week from today. All toys stay right here in the Treasure Valley, and we would love to see some KTIK listeners, all you Idaho sportsmen out there, sports talkmen, I should say. We want you to fill up that cart with maybe balls, bats, mitts. Keep it in the sports end if you wouldn't mind. Whatever you want to do is cool. Idaho's largest toy drive with Sports Radio The Ticket. That's going on right now. Thanks to Idaho Sports Talk and News Talk KBOY. JP, let's talk some NFL.
This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Ball Game. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1 The Ticket.
Idaho Sports Talk, welcome back. Just crazy week, man. And it's only going to get crazier, right, Prater? I mean, these coaches just dropping like flies and leaving and here and there, and man.
It is crazy. It's going to be completely crazy. So Mike Sanford, the former Boise State quarterback, just lost his job as the offensive coordinator at Minnesota, which had a decent year but struggled offensively. So I think every time you hit refresh, whether it's a transfer portal or a coaching change or bowl news or bowl information, this is going to be a fun week ball game. I'm fired up. It's an exciting week. I don't like these guys all losing their jobs, but
sure.
For everybody that loses their job, that's just another opportunity for somebody else. And it seems like there's a lot of connections out there that we're loving to follow, from the NFL to college, and it's going to be a fun couple weeks ball game.
I guess we start here with the NFL. You know, JP said the Cowboy news, but I don't think you have any issues with this, right? Kellen Moore's going to remain the OC in the small interim. And Dan Quinn, who's been a head coach, who's actually taken the team to the Super Bowl in the Falcons in 2016, he's going to kind of wear the head coach headset, if you will, and make the decision on fourth and one to punt or kick type of thing. Kellen Moore gets to remain OC, though, but pressure is mounting there, man.
Pressure from who? From what? On what? Just a three
on the
out of
Cowboys
four losses?
Losing 3 out of 4 at this point in the season,
and the offense doesn't look great doing it. So yeah, there's definitely some issues. But what, we got 7 games left. This is typical. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys aren't going to waltz through an entire NFL season. They're not that good, for crying out loud. Kellen Moore's not that good, for crying out loud. This is the NFL, and you know they've had a great season and they could finish strong. But you're going to go through bumps, ups and downs, and try to work some things out. Look at the LA Rams right now, for crying out loud. So there's all kinds of issues out there. But I think the long term future of the Cowboys is should be okay. This is a little bit of a bump for everybody. Everybody's going to get a little bit more head coaching experience, even though Quinn's been named the guy. But I would imagine Kellen Moore's going to learn just a little bit more again this week. But he needs to focus on that offense. He's already lost Cedric Wilson. I don't know if Ced's going to play, but Ced was the only Cowboy who didn't show up for practice today because of injuries. He's got some issues. On a short week with a bad offense, Kellen Moore needs to focus on those guys.
Tampa Bay has now passed Dallas for scoring the most points in the NFC for those, you know, scoring at home or whatever. Tampa Bay seems to be going. But the Rams, I saw Dante Dion. And it's cool that he's playing, Prater. We all love Double D here in Boise, the Boise State flavor. And there's a lot of it I saw yesterday with running backs. But Dion especially, that was a tough night for him in Lambeau Field, trying to keep up with Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams a couple of times. I mean, you'd expect Davante Adams versus Dante Dion to be a pretty big mismatch on a couple of levels there. But what do you make of Double D running out there trying to do his thing in the NFL, right?
Yeah, they're probably putting him in a situation where it's not preferred for him, but he plays much bigger than he is, and we like his stick-to-itiveness. Certainly been a good guy in that locker room. They've kept him around for a reason. But yeah, if the LA Rams are playing him on a regular basis, that's probably not a good sign, and it seems like to me the biggest issue with the Rams is their defense right now.
It's crazy to think, but there's a window there that the Rams, you know, they might not make the playoffs in this thing, which is nuts. I would never have said that 6 weeks ago, Prater. I would have bet anything in my possession that the Rams would be a playoff team this year based on what I had seen to that point. And now, I still think they will be, but I mean, they're a game ahead of the Niners in that division, and the Niners put a beat down on them a couple of weeks ago, and Kyle Shanahan has always had Sean McVay's number. He's like 7-1 against McVay or something. It's a really lopsided difference in record there. But yeah, the Rams, man, struggling on defense, and Sean McVay, boy wonder. Ooh, what's going to happen there? We'll see.
They added Von Miller and OBJ. Have they won since?
I don't think so. I mean, or they're 1-2 or 1-3 with
everybody him. Wants. What's the name of their GM?
Les Snead.
Yeah, everybody's giving him props for being a great, great general manager. But you bring in all these big time hires and you mess with the chemistry of the locker room and you haven't won in a month.
What do you make of New England right now, the Patriots? What are you seeing with this right now, Prater? They're 8-4. They have the second best record in the AFC. They might get the bye week. It's just
they have the best record. They have the second best record in the AFC. And whether we like it or not, they have the best coach in the NFL. Not even close.
Ever.
Ever. The best coach in the NFL ever, and he still is. And he's probably doing better now than he ever was.
Remember when I was making fun of this last year? I was like, oh, Brady clearly won the divorce. He's married to the supermodel, and Belichick has moved back in with his parents. That's how lopsided this divorce was. You know, time, man, in sports, it makes us all complete morons. And I'll step up and say, you know, I actually for a while there, thought that Belichick wasn't going to figure it out again in New England. I was that idiotic, I guess, that I actually thought that was in play. I didn't like his roster, his assistant coaches, whatevs. I just thought Brady out of that equation, it's not going to be, you know, Matt Damon, Goodwill Hunting on the erase board there solving mathematical problems anymore. I thought that was done, but I mean, it took him a year, I guess, and here they are. The Patriots are rolling again.
I mean, they're the best team in the AFC. They're the hottest team in the AFC. You can't even debate that. We can debate the best part of it.
1-6 in a row.
Yeah, you can't debate the hottest team.
Hottest team in football.
What if they go to the Super Bowl? What if it's Brady and Belichick in the Super Bowl?
I think that's the biggest storyline in the history of the league in 56 seasons, I believe, or 56 years of Super Bowl era.
You are a master of hyperbole, my friend, and you are not wrong.
I can't come up with a bigger storyline for Brady versus Belichick in a Super Bowl. And here's what I want to know. And if anybody wants to call in on this, I'd like your opinion, 208-424-9300, because I was thinking about this yesterday. I don't buy that Mac Jones is just the best rookie quarterback in this class and that the Patriots, they just got lucky that Mac Jones slipped and all these other dudes were taken ahead of him. Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, in particular, who all went in the top five. But so I'm not saying Mac Jones is better. I think if Mac Jones was on the Jets right now, the Jets would be, you know, 3-8 or 2-9, exactly what they are, 3-8. And I think if Zach Wilson somehow, some way went to the Patriots with that type of ability and whatnot, learning under Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, where they just don't put him in situations where he can lose the game for them, I fully believe that Zach Wilson, as a rookie, would have about the same record that Mac Jones has at 8-4 in New England. Where you go matters. Organization, the health of an organization matters. Working with smart people matters. That's in any line of work. And quarterbacking, I mean, Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. Trey Lance isn't playing. Prater, you know, we've talked about these rookie quarterbacks a lot this year. And it's Mac Jones far and away taking this thing. He's on the best team, right?
So far. I can't see like a Trevor Lawrence working for Bill Belichick. For whatever reason, that doesn't seem to work. So Mac Jones is the perfect. I mean, this whole thing started because of the draft, the hire. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. Bill Belichick knows what he wants. Bill Belichick can develop what he wants. It's a beautiful thing, ballgame. I like it. And I'm not a big Belichick guy, but it's hard not to respect what he does.
Toby, you're first up on the Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. What do you make of this thing, Tobies?
First of all, Prater, can you help some reporters around the NFL and in college ask the correct follow-up questions when Lincoln Riley was asked about the rumors? He said, I am not going to be the LSU coach. No, he's not. He's going to be the USC coach. I thought that was hilarious how he answered that question. But the NFL, guys, it changes every week, every 2 weeks. Everybody's 6-5 or 5-6 or 7-5 or 5-7.
Yep.
This whole league is open. You're right, though, except for the Patriots, which drives me crazy. A Belichick-Brady Super Bowl might be something to watch. But ballgame, think about 5 weeks ago. What were we talking about? The Miami Dolphins. They are now in playoff contention. A week ago, they were on the graphic. This week, they're about third.
And they were
possible.
Toby,
so this league is crazy anymore. I can't week to week. You don't know. Denver, 3 weeks ago, goes into Dallas and blows that team up. Anybody bet that way, please call me.
Oh, hell no, Toby. Appreciate the call. Like, I'm not even touching the NFL right now with Prater's money. You know, like, stay away from betting with your friends or whoever on the NFL. Oh, man, it's really hard to tell. And like he said about the Dolphins, yeah, they were 1-7 a month ago. Now they're 5-7. And they're kind of in the mix, sure. There's going to be a wild card team, in my opinion, that's 9-8 or 8-9, Prater. I think as long as you can get to 8 or 9 wins, which drives me crazy about my Seahawks, because there's all those games that they gave away, I felt, and your Steelers, they suck. They're 5-5-1. They're right in the playoff mix.
Well, they're not in the playoff mix, but, I mean, they haven't been mathematically eliminated, and they got a bad quarterback and a bad defense. Bad, bad quarterback.
Yep. Okay. Well, good stuff, guys. 208-424-9300. Text our Cloverdale Plumbing text line. We have a couple of former Boise State players playing tonight, Monday Night Football, in a game that we are also airing, Seattle at Washington, from our nation's capital. We're Prater on the Ballgame. KTIK, the ticket.
This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Ballgame. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket. From the DataTel studio, this is Sports Radio The Ticket.
Well, it seems like it's been forever since we played rock, jocks, and pop culture, because it has been, Johnny. You got something good cooked up today, because we've got a $50 gift certificate to the Bonefish Grill.
Nice.
That we are going to put up for grabs.
Bonefish, yeah.
Bonefish
Grill. It's going to be a good one.
That's coming up in about 10 minutes or so. But first, this Ticket Sports Update, sponsored by Larry H. Miller, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, in the Boise Auto Mall, while you're waiting for the Broncos postseason destination and you're out looking for a new pre-owned car, truck, or SUV, visit Larry H. Miller Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, then the Boise Auto Mall, and online at DodgeBoise.com. Tonight, Sports Radio The Ticket, your home for tonight's Monday Night Football game. Seahawks play at the Washington Football Team. Good chance to check out former Boise State and rookie tight end John Bates in action. He's got 8 catches on the season, but the good thing is 6 of those have come in the last 2 weeks. So he's been getting some good playing time. Offensive lineman Charles Leno Jr. also plays for the football team, which I always, you know, when I see them abbreviate Washington Football Team, WFT, I always see WTF.
I know, it's weird. And when I see USMNT, the United States Men's National Team Soccer, I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. MNT. Does
anybody
else
see what
there?
I'm working with around here?
That's what I think. When I see the hashtag USMNT, whatever, I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Let me know if anybody out there thinks that.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, please let me know. And Johnny, you're going to sit on my therapy couch for that one. The Washington situation with John Bates, I think his 2-week run has kind of come to a little bit of an end. The only reason he was getting that kind of production, Logan Thomas, their star tight end, missed the last couple of games. He's been activated for tonight's game as the starter. And Mr. Bates probably goes back to a very limited role.
When we were talking about NFL, Alexander Mattison with the Vikings yesterday, he actually scored a touchdown in the third quarter of that game to pull the Vikings within just a score of the 49ers.
From the 6, Mattison in the backfield. Takes the handoff from Cousins. And he is in for a Vikings touchdown. Minnesota answers. Couple of big plays, and the Vikings back to within 1 score.
And Madison's finished with 7 carries, 21 yards. He had a couple of catches and also had a kickoff return for 18 yards. But his playing time probably going to go up a little bit here, as Dalvin Cook has a torn labrum, and they say he could be out for a couple of weeks. In the 2 games that Madison started earlier this season when Cook was out, went over 100 yards both games.
Nice.
I think he gets that second contract, guys. Which is, you know, which is the goal, obviously. And Alexander Mattison plays well when he's asked upon. And it was good to see him yesterday. I wish the Vikings would have got a win against the Niners, but oh well.
I saw a stat where the Vikings have, like, been tied late in, like, half of their games.
How about this?
And they don't win any of them.
How about this? The Vikings, at every game they played this year, they've had at least a 7-point lead. In every single game they played, they've led by a teeter. And they're 5-6, whatever the rest of the league is. But yeah, the NFL, I mean, pretty tough league, JP.
Well, the Boise State volleyball team, they did something that no Bronco team has done for a little while here. Won a conference championship. And we were discussing that this morning, that last year during the COVID year, Boise State was shut out of winning a conference championship. and none this year so far. How far back do we have to go? I didn't get a chance to check on that, but it's been, a year and a half at least. But they learned their destination for the NCAA tournament, and they're headed to Provo to play BYU. They won the Mountain West tournament Friday night, knocking off UNLV in the championship match. And their next match against BYU set for Friday night, 7:30, their second NCAA appearance all time. And the FCS playoffs got underway over the weekend. Coach Hawk, Dan Hawkins, UC Davis, they lost to South Dakota State. UT Martin, who is Boise State's first home opponent of 2022,
They
have advanced. They knocked off their opponent. They beat Missouri State, and they will play Montana State in Bozeman this weekend.
If UT Martin beats Montana State in Bozeman this weekend, are you, JP, willing to say that, you know, maybe they'll hang around with Boise State for a half?
No, I'm not willing to say that.
Thank you.
No, I have no idea. I don't know anything about UT Martin.
The UT Martin whatabouts? Who are they? Like, do you know
Tennessee
Prater?
Tennessee Martin. Nope.
What are they?
I don't know. I had to look up what a billiken was. Do you know what a billiken is?
A little billiken. It's
like a bird. It's a bird.
Nah,
that's not what exactly. It looks like a Dr. Seuss character.
It's like an animated character of sorts. Thanks. It's like a good voodoo doll is what I was reading.
Okay. I thought it was like a demon deacon, like a Wake Forest guy. But yeah. Like a little billikens, Prater. Billikens.
And all the coaching palooza, Lincoln Riley introduced at USC today. And we've got Kalen DeBoer of Fresno State moving over to the University of Washington. We've got Mike Sanford Jr., former Boise State quarterback and offensive coordinator. And he made quite a few stops between there now and this weekend. But he was let go by the Minnesota Golden Gophers. You'd almost think that he was on a fast track there when he was at Stanford, and he was a quarterback coach, and he was Andrew Luck's quarterback coach. And
He was at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Mike Sanford Jr. was the OC under Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, and they loved him. And then he took the Western Kentucky gig, Prater. And ever since then, it's been tough sledding for Sanford.
Sanford, at first year at Notre Dame compared to his second year, they dropped 5 points a game in terms of average under him in the 2 years. They got terribly worse at Notre Dame. Then he goes to Western Kentucky, where he loses 16 of 25 football games. And then he goes to Utah State, where they have one of their worst offensive seasons in history. And then he goes to Minnesota last year, averages 27 points a game. This year they got worse, averaging 26 points a game. His career, if you ask me, over the last 6 years, far from upper wards trajectory.
That one Notre Dame team, I remember they were 4-8, and it just the bottom fell out. I don't know if I can blame him for that one.
No, but don't give him credit for it.
I thought the first year at Notre Dame, he did a pretty damn good job. But you're like you said, they dropped significantly, right?
Yes.
From year one to year two with him at Notre Dame. And what did you think of him here in Boise, Sanford?
Small sample size, good dude, loved him. But there's nothing that says nothing about his resume over the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seasons that screams success to me.
And he never stays anywhere a long period of time.
No.
He's always hopping. How about some Bonefish Grill certificate? Who wants this? Call 208-424-9300 and participate in Rock, Jocks, and Pop Culture. Been a while since we've done this. Got some good questions for you guys today, so call that number right now. JP, I want caller number Donovan McNabb, okay? Caller number 5 today. Let's take that. We'll play Rock, Jocks, and Pop next on KTIK The Ticket.
It may be the reason Marconi invented the radio. Let's play Rock, Jocks, and Pop Culture on Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM. The Ticket.
Brought to you by Advanced Heating and Cooling. This is Rock, Jocks, and Pop Culture. Our guest today is Andrew in Nampa. Andrew, welcome to Idaho Sports Talk. Is this the first time you played?
Yes.
Are you pretty excited about it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can get you to Bonefish Grill with $50.
I'm excited about that.
Heck yeah, man. Good eats there, man. That goes a long way. $50 there. If you don't win, Prater's going to take it.
Absolutely.
Okay, Andrew, you got two lifelines. Prater and JP can help you through this adventure. You need two or three questions correct to get the certificate. Three questions correct, you sweep it. and say hello to the Wall of Fame. You ready, Andrew?
Yes.
Which actress dances with Bruce Springsteen in the music video Dancing in the Dark?
This seems like one where I could use some Prater help.
Really? Okay.
Courtney Cox.
I'm gonna go with that one. I haven't watched a lot of music videos, so I'm gonna trust Prater.
It is my understanding that we're supposed to play ball.
Surprised you on that one, ball game, didn't I? No need to even mess around.
I'm surprised you even know who Courtney Cox is. I'm impressed.
I know who Bruce Springsteen is.
Hell yeah, and you've seen that video, and that's how you put it together or whatever?
Yes, sir.
That video came out 35 years ago, somewhere around there.
You know what's funny is this guy who's playing our game, Andrew, I don't watch music videos because he comes from an era where he doesn't. We grew up, MTV was a huge thing. They actually played music on it. It was awesome. Okay, you're one for one. Off to a hot start. Andrew from Nampa, here we go. Andrew, in honor of the Seattle Seahawks who play in Monday Night Football tonight, Andrew, which Seahawk has scored the most touchdowns in team history? As a Seahawk, most total touchdowns. Who is it?
I think I'm going to go ahead and guess Sean Alexander.
You want a final answer to that?
Yeah, let's go with Sean Alexander.
It is my understanding that we're supposed to play ball.
Nice!
Look at this guy.
Where's Largent on that list?
Number two.
Okay, I would have guessed Largent.
I know, and I was hoping that he would call on one of you old school old farts, and you would have said Steve Largent, and you would have got it wrong.
I definitely would have said Steve Largent.
JP?
I was thinking of the running. I couldn't remember his name right off the top of my head, but I was thinking of the running back.
By the way, Sean Alexander has 112 career touchdowns, and he probably doesn't make the Hall of Fame. So he's going to be the guy, as the answer of the trivia question, who has the most total touchdowns that is not in Canton, Ohio. Anybody even close to those touchdown numbers is already in. It'll be interesting.
Did he flirt with 2,000 yards?
Yes, and he's also the only Seattle Seahawk to ever win league MVP. Good resume there for Sean. Okay, you're two for two. You've already won Bonefish Grill certificate, Andrew, so congratulations on that. Now, how big would it be to join the Wall of Fame, Andy?
Not a big fan of Andy, but I think that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, Andrew.
He didn't mean nothing by it.
No, he didn't, but no, I.
No.
I mean, it's, you yeah, couldn't have known. You have, that's one of those names. You have a choice. You can easily go by Andy. Sometimes Andrew's a little more formidable. Andrew's a little more professional, I guess. Like, I mean, imagine if Andrew Luck went by Andy. Andy Luck just doesn't sound good, does it?
No.
And look at Andy Dalton. What if he went by Andrew? Andrew Dalton. It just doesn't sound right. Okay.
I don't think we have any Andys on the Wall of Fame, but we could have an Andrew.
We'll put an Andrew on there. Okay, Andrew, here you go. What is the name of the character that the user controls in the legendary video game The Legend of Zelda? Who's the name of the character, the person you control in Zelda?
The legendary game Zelda.
Yeah.
It was. Legendary.
Dude, Zelda, Prater, that was one of the biggest moments in 8-bit history when they released The Legend of Zelda. It came with a map, man. The game did. It came out with a fold-out map.
Oh.
Andrew, I need an answer. You got JP as a lifeline, too.
Are you sure I can't use my brother-in-law as a lifeline?
Legend of Zelda. There's a lot of people in their cars who know this right now, and they're saying, oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's Link. Is it Link? That's going to be my final answer.
It is my understanding that we're supposed to play ball.
Wow. Son of a gun, man. This guy was good today. Link. Yeah. And Zelda 2, Prater, is called The Adventures of Link.
Okay.
But that's the guy that you control. A lot of people think you control Zelda. No, Zelda's the princess you're going to save as the character Link.
Ballgame, just stop.
You guys didn't know that, huh?
Just stop, Ballgame.
Andrew.
Nerds!
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 Andrew, congratulations. Bonefish Grill and a spot on the Wall of Fame. How's that feel?
Hey, thanks, guys. It feels great.
Did you cheat?
No.
I'm just kidding, man. Of course you didn't. Mike, All right. Damn, he swept me today. Sometimes I feel bad about that, Prater, when someone just like...
You're just upset that I knew Courtney Cox answered.
Did you cheat on that one?
No, I gave you that in the first 2 seconds.
I know you did. How you knew that?
I just told you, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, but I mean, can you name...
That's one of the most famous videos of all time. Everybody knows the answer to that. It's not special that I knew that. Everybody knows that.
Well, what else was Courtney Cox in her career besides that video? Can you name
it? Well, I don't know. She was in Friends.
Okay, so you knew that, yeah.
Well, yeah, I did know that.
I don't know, man. I don't think you've ever seen an episode of Friends.
I've never seen an episode of Friends, but I can tell you that Courtney Cox,
yep.
Dave Schwimmer,
yep.
Then I'm stuck after that.
Jennifer Aniston.
Oh yeah, Jennifer Aniston. I forgot about her. She's kind of cute.
Lisa Kudrow.
I probably wouldn't have guessed that.
Matt LeBlanc and Matthew Perry.
I probably should have known Matthew Perry. Yes, only because he played in a rodeo movie that I liked. 8 seconds.
Matthew Perry? No, that's Luke Perry, dude.
Was that a different Perry?
Yeah.
Dang
but
it.
I do like 8 seconds. That's a good movie.
That was a different Perry.
That was Luke Perry.
Dang it!
I like.
That was going
seconds.
So well.
That's a good one, man. Hey, phone calls. We need them. We're asking for them. We want your opinion. We're talking what the next 20-30 minutes, Prater? Boise State football, and kind of what's next, right?
Off-season priorities. I had my column in the Idaho Press over the weekend. This is your chance to come strong, and we'll take the phone calls right at 5:01. Your priority for Boise State football in the off-season, which we think starts now for the next 30 minutes, ballgame.
I love it. Get those calls in. Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline, 208-424-9300. And thank you, Advanced Heating and Cooling. Deals, deals, smoking hot deals.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.
If you missed Idaho Sports Talk with Prater in the ballgame, you missed this.
ESPN hockey lead analyst Barry Melrose with us. Guns N' Roses? Meh.
Actually, Guns N' Roses were played in our bus all the time when I was coaching in Seattle. There was always Guns N' Roses. As a matter of fact, I got so sick and tired of it, I made the guys wear headphones. I just couldn't take it anymore.
Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Ballgame. Weekdays at 3 on Sports Radio The Ticket.